the choice that the karma demands.
So there's no choice there.
There's no choice. Yeah. When there is the karma demand determines the choice. And even there, even while going through the motions of just a little fine point here. Supposing you are the enlightened person and you are sitting absolutely unconcerned, there are no thoughts in your mind at all. And suddenly she says, let's have a chant. Come on, pick up your guitar and let's have a chant. Right? You look at her, okay. You must be very careful here. This is not your baby. The desire to sing does not arise in you. The impulse to sing does not arise in you. Okay? She says, let's have a chanting session. Why not? You pick up your guitar and start singing. While you do so, if you observe the mind is steady. There is no movement in it except for the movement which is involved in the chanting, the singing. But otherwise, the mind is absolutely steady and calm and quiet. Compare this with the other state. When you say, I want to sing now, come on, let's sing. Then there is a lot of movement. Why? Because you are initiating this action in accordance with your karma again. But here, there are two types of karma. One, where the impulse arises in you, the desire arises in you. Your own mind suggests this. And there is full participation of your personality in it. And the other, where someone else suggests something to you. You go through the movement, right? Okay.
Generally, the first state that you were describing just now, is that, I've never really understood in the Gita, in the sixth chapter where they said that for the yogi who has attained to...
Shamakarna mucchyate.
Yes.
Correct, correct.
Correct.
There is no effort. We will come to that tomorrow. Mm. In his case, peace of mind is his natural state. When something is dropped, like it's like a placid lake, it's calm. You drop a pebble into it, plop, 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 it does, and then calm. Once again, it's calm. There's a yogi dream. Oh yes, he doesn't dream, the mind dreams. The yogi doesn't dream, the mind dreams. The brain dreams.
But it doesn't dream while he's awake. It doesn't have that.
Just it may have,
wandering and...
The mind does not aimlessly wander. The mind does not aimlessly wander, uncontrolled.
If the nature of the mind's thoughts, just like you said, the energy in the body allows it to keep going, the blood flows to keep it alive. And if the nature of the mind is thoughts, are they as organized as that too, if not in a feet interfered with by...
In the case of unenlightened people or non-yogis, there is simple swinging, simple restlessness. In the case of the yogi, they need not be that way. And he does not...
So it's not necessarily
the nature of him. It is the nature of the mind. He makes them denature, makes it denature. That is, he brings about a miraculous transformation of this mind which is very much like dehydrated water. Not quite. Let us not exaggerate. Not quite. In the Yoga Sutras, there is a beautiful answer to this question. The mind of the yogi is still. Still because of one-pointed, what is called brahmakara vritti, one-pointed attention to the observation itself. Why do these thoughts come into us? Because we are unaware. If you set up this awareness, which is expressed in this basic question, who am I? That becomes a sort of a thought which prevails all the time. Where does this funny thought arise? If you adopt some means or methods like japa, for instance, repeating a mantra, the yogi is constantly repeating that mantra. So that the restlessness of the mind takes the form of the repetition of the mantra. Is it fun here? In the case of others, the restlessness becomes scatterbrain. You keep on thinking of one thing or the other all the time. In his case, instead of this, as the Zen people would call it, instead of 1001 thoughts, he introduces one thought, which is the mantra, which keeps going round and round and round and round and all the time. So that you would be right if you said that the yogi's mind is also restless, and you would be right if you said the yogi's mind is not restless, because it flows in one direction, just this one thought, which is a mantra, or the inquiry into self.
So he's utilizing the nature of the mind?
You can say so. He is utilizing the nature of the mind and neutralizing the nature of the mind at the same time. He is utilizing that very nature, but in order to neutralize it.
You say it's possible.
It's easy.
I can see that could be possible, because that's something I know. I don't know. But the next one, where you say that the nature of the mind doesn't even necessarily have to have a thought.
No. Mind is restless, and restlessness is thought. It'll always be so. Till it is made into dehydrated water. Then it becomes sattva.
So it becomes sattva.
That is not easy. That's not so easy as it is said.
What is it in the mind of a schizophrenic that makes him change roles?
Ask yourself. I really don't know what is called schizophrenic unless you people accept my contention that all of us are schizophrenic according to the psychologist's version of it. We are all Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? All of us. I don't think it is dual personality. It is the same personality wanting to put on one makeup at one point and another makeup at another point. Huh? I think it's a whole lot of...
It's a common misconception that schizophrenia is a dual personality. It's rather a fragmenting of the mind. It's as if the mind has just exploded, come back together again, but not in the right place.
That's all of us, sir. Okay.
Can I ask then what happens in the mind when you've got one half of your mind saying one thing and the other half contradicting?
All of us, madam? Anybody here who is not that? You can call it guilt complex or XYZ, but that seems to be the nature of the human mind.
It's not necessarily guilt complex.
It can be anything. But that seems to be the nature of the human mind. We are all the time on the horns of a dilemma. Shall I do this? Shall I not do this? It's nice to do this. I'm sure some of you were playing the dice again about 1 hour ago. Shall we go to the beach? It's nice. But we had to come back here at 2:30. But it's nice to go there. Oh, what does it matter if we miss the discussion one day? And as our friend said, some people are more prone to this than others. And unfortunately, our culture also promotes this confusion by introducing lovely proverbs like, look before you leap. So you look there and, shall I not? Look, shall I not? Think twice.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
All sorts of, yeah, don't put.
He who hesitates.
That's what. That's a beautiful proverb. And so I tell them, look before you leap, leap. And strangely enough, I don't know if this will also cure what is called schizophrenia. If you do this a few times, then the confusion disappears. In other words, you start, shall I not? This is also a habit, which can get you and ruin your life. When you find that you are repeatedly doing it, it's becoming a pattern. Pick up the next episode. Shall I drink now? A little later. Pick it up, drink it. Right or wrong, we'll see later.
Is that anxiety? Is this another form or a deeper form of shy or shy not?
It can be anything, madam. It can be anxiety, it can be indecision, it can be sheer laziness. It can be all sorts of things. But only one thing it is, and that is confusion, a state of confusion. And it can also become a habit. One can form a habit of dangling on this confusion. Especially, I've seen one person who excels. She goes on doing this, and then the opportunity is lost. I go on saying, shall I drink this? And then she needs a drink of water and it goes to her. Oh, I should have had it, I should have done before. I shouldn't have hesitated. Was it all right for me to have hesitated or not? If I had done it, would it be that I would be called impulsive, not wise, not sharing and all this? That's all. In the meantime, opportunities are floating by. It's a terrible thing. So the best, and I don't think it's even a disease. It is willfully done. It's willfully done. At the next opportunity, break this damned habit. Take hold of some stupid thing, never mind consequences, and do it. And the pattern is broken. And once there is confidence within that I don't have to remain in this state of confusion anymore, it's gone. But even there, I told you, I've seen one person who does this all the time. But even in her case, I am not convinced that it is not malingering, that she is helplessly swinging in a state of confusion. I have a feeling that she deliberately does it so that somebody else can do all the dirty work and she can quickly snatch the cake. There was a Swami who used to be not quite a schizophrenic, but a procrastinator. And everybody used to say, his nature is like that, you know, he doesn't do anything in time, drags on and on. Procrastination is a dragon, do you know that? Yes? It's a drag on. Things drag on and on and on. It's called procrastination. It's a dragon. And everybody used to think that was his nature and he could never do things promptly. But it was not so. I knew it was different. Because he got up and he prepared his tea and he went to the toilet and all that at the proper time, and when he wanted to do something, he did it. How come that only when it comes to certain work allotted to him by somebody else, he is so indecisive and he is so foot dragger? Then came something which he had to do, he wanted to do. He wanted to go on a tour. And my God, he sat up and wrote all the letters and sent around all the circulars and so on and so on. So absolutely super efficient that there is no procrastination there at all. He was able to keep half a dozen secretaries on their tails. Yeah, right? So it is just because he or she doesn't want to do it, you create all these silly little problems. Shall I not? And since society is trained to view this as some sort of illness, you know, you should take pity on them. And so you find more and more people malingering schizophrenia. I am a schizophrenic, which means you must put up with all my eccentricities. I tell them, no, I am also schizophrenic. Sometimes I am kind to you, sometimes I am not so kind. Plum, plum, and then it comes right. There are, having said all that, I do believe that there are cases of genuine mental problem, like insanity. And it is even possible for a weak person's mind to be dominated by the mind of someone or something else. If there's any German-speaking person here, it's Geist, his mind, isn't it? Huh? Nobody knows German here? In German?
You mean an entity takes over?
Ah, that's what he was coming to. Geist is mind, and that is what is translated in English as ghost, Holy Ghost. It is possible, in the case of a very weak-minded person, for some other entity to take over. And then you have genuine schizophrenic phenomenon, where the person is just not responsible for what happens during those periods. And let's close with a brighter note. And this can also happen in a very blessed way when a yogi takes possession of the mind. I heard this from a very reliable person in the ashram, that it had happened to a lady. She was just an ordinary housewife, though pious, noble and all that. And a South Indian Brahmin. And it seems after childbirth, there was some complication and she was about to die. She was about to die or nearly dead. Then suddenly she got well and got up. But then the person who was about to die was very different from the person who is resurrected now. She sang and she was in ecstatic chanting and all that. And her behavior also had changed radically. The sort of modesty that is very characteristic of South Indian Brahmin women, although it is gone, nobody knew what had happened. And she suddenly came out with poems of tremendous value, tremendous erudition and all that she was totally incapable of before. Then they found out that just about the same time as she about nearly died and got up, a holy man had died in another village. They pieced these things together and determined that that soul, that spirit or whatever you wish to call it, had entered into this woman. She's there even now, she's alive.
She's still
ecstatic? Nearly so. Perhaps that soul also isn't getting ready to leave. So, it's very beautiful. Something beautiful can happen. This is true schizophrenia, where it's not only your mind that is functioning, the mind of the other entity is also functioning at the same time. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Let us not also disperse with such somber thoughts. Something lighter. I was told this story by Kumudini's father. I don't know how far it is true. It is pure joke, maybe, or maybe there is something in it. To sort of suggest that it is possible that we are all schizophrenic because of a very simple fact of our biography that we were born of two parents. Nobody is born of one parent. And so it's possible that we suffer from the influence of this dichotomy, father-mother. It seems a holy man, a fairly aged holy man, was walking along a village road, and behind him came galloping on a horseback, a young man, prince. The holy man did not know that this fellow was a prince. And as this prince passed to this holy man, he jumped down, fell at the holy man's feet and said, "Sir, you must ride the horse and I must walk. It's not right that you, such a holy man, should walk and I, a young man, should ride the horse, please." And this holy man said, No, I am used to walking, I'll walk. You go on your horse." Then he pleaded, No, you must. All right. This holy man sat on the horse and started riding. An hour or something like that later, suddenly he grew ferocious. He looked at the holy man and said, "What the hell? What are you? This is my horse, you're already, get off." He said, "What's happened to him now? He was so nice and gentle for some time. Okay. I didn't want to ride horseback in any case." So he came down, started walking. And in the meantime, the prince went into a restaurant, had some coffee or something. And then the yogi had walked far ahead of him. Once again, he was about to overtake the yogi, he jumped down and said, "Please pardon me, my misbehavior. Please, you ride the horse now." This went on for a few times, alternating. Once so nice and gentle, and half an hour later, so crude and vicious. The yogi was really intrigued. Then there came a little town, and the yogi entered the town first, went into the first restaurant, sat down on the pavement for a cup of tea, and there were crowds of people, masses of people, with band and this and that, singing, dancing, music, all sorts of things were all assembled there, right at the entrance to the town. And he asked this tea stall fellow, "Who are they waiting for? Don't you know? Wait." And within minutes, that same fellow came on horseback and, yelling his name. They received him with great joy, festivity. And this holy man was looking at it, enjoying this sight. And this tea stall man said, wait, let it go, I'll tell you a story." And as soon as the procession went by, the tea stall man told him the story. "You know who this is? This is our prince. He had quarreled with his father and gone away. And today he was coming back, and so all this welcome. He Hindi is a funny fellow." The king did not have a son for a long, long time. He married once, he married twice, but no son. Daughters, but no son. And they needed a son to ascend the throne. Well, no luck. Then one day, the king was riding through the streets of the village or town when he saw a very beautiful young girl. Being the king, he said, "I want that girl." So he had to have the girl. But she was the local butcher's daughter. The local butcher's only daughter. Okay, the king picked her up, took her to the palace, and sort of adopted her as a wife, concubine. This boy was born of her. Since there was no other male member in the family, he has become the prince. And this yogi suddenly realized, oh ho, that's the idea, is it? When the royal blood went into his brain, he was so humble and kind and, please, holy man, won't you ride? And when the butcher's blood went into him, so when the father blood went into the brain, he was kind and gentle and noble. And when the mother blood went into the brain, he became a butcher. That's another possibility, I guess. Adi Om, that's.